Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, you know, send them out to Wagwan. Yo, just hold firm, you know. Keep moving. Hold your head up, you know. Hey, yo. Wake up in the morning, say a little thing to God. Him bless me, just food in my cupboard. Remembering the days when time well hot, me belly hungry, and me couldn't find a regular job. Feel like me can't move, me trapped in a cage. Still searching for the words, look up on the page. Still dreaming about the day when me step on the stage. But nothing now come, that's when me better say. You have to keep moving, stand on, stand on. Yeah, I, no matter what. Yeah, I. You have to keep moving. Send on, send on, send on. Yeah, I. It's just another broken heart. It's so sad, the lonely one. Yeah, when me say Emily, she could have said no sad story. I'm an abuser, I'm gonna beat her up badly. Yeah. I could have watched it Bradley. I hope it's quick, I'm starting a family. One day she decides she can't take it no more. She fall out, cry, go down on the floor. That's when she take the razor, telephone a ring. Somebody on the other line, a dollar said. You have to keep moving. Send on Miss Chang, Miss Chang. Yeah, I. So no matter what's going on, you know say you have to shut down. Yeah, I.
Timothy in a hard line of work. Him a drive ambulance, same one with since birth. Yo, him get a call from him cell phone. Say there's been an accident, a little youth drive off of the road. When him get to the scene, say it not look good. Him not stop think but if him really done already good. Now the family want no walk one. And the doctor say I'm sorry him not make it, your son is gone. Yeah, they keep moving. Stand on, stand on, hold on, stand on, stand on, yeah. No matter what's going on, you know I say you have to shut down, shut down, yeah.
Shalom, peace, and blessings, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Inspirational Wednesday, where we try to catch you midweek and give some encouragement to your soul so that you can keep going. Some of us just sometimes sit back and try to wait for the Shabbat, for the Sabbath, for that Saturday, that weekend to come, where you can rest and take a deep breath. But some of you never even make it to the Sabbath before you beat it through in the tiles. So we just hopefully want to say something that can keep you going. And just reach out to you as we fellowship. I am your brother V, Torah, along with brother D. What's going on, brother D? How you doing this morning?
Oh, shalom, doing just fine. All praises to the Most High, and shalom to the brothers and sisters out there, and our of the remnant.
Yes, sir, of the remnant. That's right. Those that that keep it pushing. So, how you getting along down there in your part of the earth down there?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Like I said, you know how the life of a retired person. But I'm doing just fine. Just waiting on that day know, trying to keep those commandments and stay righteous in the Most High's eyes.
Most definitely. And seems like we're living in a day and time right now where everybody's got an opinion because so much is going on in the earth. We're seeing prophecy unfold right in front of our eyes. And all the prognosticators are out predicting things. And you got this this eclipse coming up. So everybody wants to say the end of the world is coming because civil war is out there, et cetera, et cetera. But this is just prophecy we're seeing. And it's being fulfilled. But I think opinions, at the end of the day, we better keep these commandments, like you said.
Exactly. You know, the Most High scattered us, you know, because we provoked him to anger. And so we just need to hold on. That third that he's going to save, we just need to hold on and just be prepared for the return of HaMashiach.
That's right. Two-thirds of y'all going to be destroyed. And I'm saying it like that because it's like this. The one-third, that remnant, those are the ones that are keeping these commandments and staying focused and staying on par and not being swayed or distracted by television, civil war, protests, wars and rumors of wars. We just stand the course. And staying the course means keeping the faith. Keeping the faith means keeping the commandments. 1 John 3 and 4 tells us that sin is transgression of the law. So we seek to keep the law. Although, if you listen on the Shabbat, we talk about the law. Many people will tell you the law is done away with. That's somebody that's trying to get you killed. Whoever's telling you that, definitely. Preaching that, is somebody that's trying to get you killed. Literally.
Definitely.
You know,
definitely.
Yeah. At the end of the day, they want to see Hebrews wiped off the face of the earth anyway. So just stay to yourself and keep the commandments. And don't even be swayed by what everybody's saying on Facebook. Go ahead, brother.
And if I can read a couple of verses here from Baruch 4:32,
yes,
bolster our hope. It says, "Miserable are the cities which thy children serve. Miserable is she that received thy sons. For as she rejoiced at thy ruin and was glad of thy fail, so shall she be grieved for her own desolation. For I will take away the rejoicing of her great multitude, and her pride shall be turned into mourning." So, you know, these people out there that are, they know who they're after, and they know who we are, and they're just, they will be getting their recompense. Because the Most High says he's going to turn that right back on them.
Yes, sir. That was a good scripture. What was that part about the cities grieving?
It says, they said it says that they're mourning, or they will be mourning when Most High returns their recompense back on them. Let me see if I can find that exactly. "For I will take away the rejoicing of the great multitude," which is those people that are, putting all of these bad things on us, "and her pride shall be turned into mourning." Right now they're rejoicing and they're happy because of what they're doing to us, but the Most High is going to turn that rejoicing into mourning.
All praises to the Most High, and we can't wait for that day. But it will be a dark day. You know, as a matter of fact, he told us not to look for it, because when it comes, it's like we talked about on the Shabbat, when anybody in the presence of that glory, if you're not right, you'll be judged. If you're living right and you've been chosen, then you'll be transformed. And you shall transcend from, mortal to immortal. So... but we do await the day of recompense, because the blood is crying out from the ground of our young men and young women that have been shot down in the streets like dogs, and it just still just keeps happening, just shooting them down. And mostly the police are doing this. So we
and
do want to see that.
And they hold themselves not guilty.
Hold themselves not guilty. They say we deserve it because we left our God. They say this is what we brought on ourselves. So they hold themselves not guilty all the time. They go to court and they dismiss all these trials constantly. But take heart, brothers and sisters, from what we just read, there's a day that's coming. So for those that want to stay away from the fray, that would be best. Stay away from the fray. Stay away from the protests. What you going down there looking for and talking about, I want my voice heard? No, that's not how it goes down. Keep these commandments.
Exactly.
That's how it goes down.
And these curses go, I'm sorry. These curses go all around because the police, just like the ones in New Orleans, they, those two guys, they shot someone, an innocent person, a child, while they were chasing after, one of the lawbreakers, and they put them brothers right in jail. There was no paid leave, nothing like that. So the curses will come on them also because they're Hebrews.
Right. No paid leave for the black cop that shot the white woman. That's what you're in reference to?
Yeah, well, I was referencing the two black cops down in New Orleans when they were chasing that one guy who was wanted, and he had a child in the car with him, and they shot, and they wind up hitting and killing that child. And so, Tamir Rice, he had a toy gun. They shot and killed him, but those guys were let off. But those two brothers down there, they went immediately to jail. Like I said, with no paid leave. So,
you ain't got the connection.
The curse is going to affect us no matter what we're doing, what job we're in. You think you're a police officer and you got that blue line protecting you? It doesn't work for us like it works for them.
Say that again. That's right. People think they can escape it, especially you bougie Hebrews up there thinking that you're living high on the hog, high on the hill. Let's not forget that brother where the cops arrested him. Obama came and had a beer with him. You remember that brother? Well-to-do. Yeah, and they tried to apologize to him and have a beer with him because the cops were in the wrong. So these curses, you can't escape these curses. You can't escape the curses. But what you can do is find a divine protection in the Most High by trying to keep these commandments and keep our focus on the King. Long live the King.
That's
our insurance policy. Yes, sir. Before we get into the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs, I want to read from Psalms, the 27th chapter. Have a quick word of prayer on this inspirational Wednesday. Psalms 27 says, Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Most High that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of our Elohim all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Most High and to inquire in his temple. But in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Listen to that, brothers and sisters. I'll read again, fifth verse. But in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Most High. That's what we're supposed to do in the time of trouble. That's our protection, how he will hide us. Verse 7, hear, O Elohim, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I see. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O Yah, of my salvation. When my father, my mother forsake me, then the Most High will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Elohim, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies.
Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. False witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of our Elohim in the land of the living. Wait on our Elohim and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, wait. All praises to the Most High.
Hallelujah. And waiting on him these days, like I said, it's just a ton of stuff going on out there. You know, it's just, you know, it just shows that these prophecies are unfolding.
Yes, sir. So, we ask, Father, that you would bless the people today and give them encouragement in their soul, be a light unto them, give them strength, help them to make it along the way, and help them to keep their focus and not be distracted by Donald Trump, Korea, or civil war. Help us to know what we're supposed to do in this hour. Give us peace, give us strength. Our Abba, our Father, we pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, so be it.
So right, which one of the patriarchs are we at?
We're on eight. We're getting ready to go into Asher. I think we've got Asher. We have Joseph and Asher and Benjamin left, just three left. So it's been a great series. Some of my favorite ones were Zebulon and Naphtali. We found out about Reuben and Judah. They off the chain, as usual, of course, because Judah's still off the chain.
Yeah,
it's been a great series of learning where we have the 12 patriarchs, which were the 12 sons of Jacob, that kind of left a testament, a prophetic testament of what would happen in this hour for that particular tribe. This will also help you to kind of understand what tribe is what tribe, according and not according to that chart that Bivens and them came up with back in New York. But this is these testaments were written to the offspring of these 12 patriarchs and for that tribe, and the prophecies are remote and they're very applicable. Because he gave them an idea. Each one of them gave an idea to the offspring of what they would be doing and what their personality traits would be, what they would be like, and what would befall them. So I've actually gleaned a lot of wisdom from this, because I don't think it's just for that particular tribe, but I think it spans, it's information that spans to all the other tribes as well. What say you?
Exactly. You know, and a lot of this shows why they hid a lot of these books from us, because it's given great knowledge here, you know, words and statements to live by, and to see what the different tribes went through over their patriarch left for them. And so it's just great to see all this stuff. But like I said, this is all hidden from us when the Council of Nicaea decided that they were going to get in there and decide what books we need to look at, you know, and so that in itself was an egregious act.
As a matter of fact, they spent more time trying to figure out what books they don't want us to look at, like which
exactly.
ones we should take out. Yeah, let's take this one out. We don't need this.
Exactly.
Anything to keep us from finding out we're the children of Israel, and anything to keep us in servitude and keep our minds enslaved. And, you know, that's, of course, our mission here is to restore the cultural identity of so-called Black America. But we know we are the Hebrews, not Black Hebrew Israelites. No, just Hebrews, period.
Exactly.
Black is the color of a crayon, not a man.
Yeah.
I don't understand for the life of me, Brother D, why people don't understand that if you're Russian, it's because you're from Russia. If you're Chinese, it's because you're from China. But to say you're African American, you're not from, you know, those two different land masses. That's just a farce. That's just ridiculous. Understanding that those land masses, maybe Brother Tony will come on Thursday and talk about the land of Judah. But before the land of Judah was conquered, it was conquered. Well, when it was conquered by Leo Scipio Africanus. And it was named after him. And the Book of Psalms told us that they would think to name lands and places after themselves. And America named after Amerigo Vespucci. So it was made clear to us in prophecy in Psalms by David that these people would conquer these lands and name them after themselves. And then you got the nerve to rape and pillage a whole culture, race of people, and name them after two Spanish conquerors? That is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
So the biggest case and the first case of identity theft.
Right. Way before identity theft started. They started it with us. You know, and changed all of our names. All of our names ended with Yah somehow. Had Yah in our names, named after the Most High. Surnames of Israel. And now we're named after all of our slave owners. So it's important, brothers and sisters, that you take a look at that. If you ever come into the complete emancipation of yourself and understand who you are, you would want to change your name from the enslavement that's upon your head and let the chains be broken.
That could be only one reason. I'm sorry, but there could be only one reason for changing names. Is that just so you don't know who you are?
Right.
The only reason for that.
But isn't it amazing? Can these bones live again? That without our doing and without their help, of course, that the Ruach HaKadosh began to awaken us in the spirit. All at once, at the same time, people just start waking up and just start realizing this isn't, like you said, this information they have hidden from us. But books begin to come out of the ground. People begin to find fragments of books, and we begin to put precepts together, and we were able to see past the lies that they've taught us for years in the seminary, in the church, and find out something is not right. And all praises to the Most High for having a remnant in the earth and standing true to his promise to his people that he would awaken us in due season.
And they're still trying to hide evidence to this day. You know, when you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls that the Khazars have had, and they're just letting it out a little at a time, what they want to let out, and they're still hiding
right.
all of that information.
Yeah, they're actually scared to let this information out because they know we're piecing things together. They know we could get like just they could release one book and we'll put tie a precept in with the Apocrypha and some other things. And so, they're ticked off that we're putting this all together. All praises to the Most High for that.
Yeah, the conspiracy continues.
It continues. Yes, it does. All praises to the Most High.
All praises to the Most High.
Okay, so I'll start with the reading. You can stop me whenever necessary.
Okay.
Let's see. Reading from the Testament of Asher, who was the 10th son of Jacob and Zilpah. The copy of the Testament of Asher. I'm sorry, you probably still hear that construction in the background, so just try to ignore all that noise. What things he spake to his sons in the 125th year of his life. For while he was still in health, he said to them, "Hearken, ye children of Asher, to your father, and I will declare to you all that is upright in the sight of the Most High. Two ways hath Yah given to the sons of men, and two inclinations and two kinds of action, and for two modes of action and two issues. Therefore, all things are by twos, one over against the other." And that's a very important point I want to make, that we see that he always sent them out two by two. Even when Christ sent out the disciples, the Mashiach sent them out. So that's an important point. Let me continue. "For there are two ways of good and evil, and with these are the two inclinations in our breast discriminating them. Therefore, if the soul take pleasure in the good inclination, all its actions are in righteousness. And if its sin in straightway repenteth for having its thoughts set upon righteousness and casting away wickedness, it straightway overthroweth the evil and uprooteth the sin. But if it incline to the evil inclination, all its actions are in wickedness, and it driveth away the good and cleaveth to the evil, and is ruled by Belial, which is Hashatan. Even though it work what is good, he perverteth it to evil. For whenever it beginneth to do good, he forceth the issue of the action into evil for him, seeing that the treasure of the inclination is filled with an evil spirit. Did you follow that, Brother D?
Yes, I did. I had on mute. No, I'm still here. I had on mute because, you know, I got my grandson here. And I'm trying to keep from random noise coming in. But yes, I did. You know, just like you said, it'll pervert what Yah, the good that Yah puts out there for evil. Even get into, like, the whole idea of cremation. You know, it's not what the Most High meant for us because your soul is in your bones. And so he's getting people to burn themselves up and pretty much get rid of those bones so you don't have those, like they said, the dry bones. But like I said, he's come up with this evil for us to burn up our bodies. That's not what the Most High meant for us.
Right. Definitely. Let me continue. A person then may with words help the good for the sake of the evil. I'll read it again. A person may with words help the good for the sake of the evil, yet the issue of the action leads to mischief. There is a man who showeth no compassion upon him who serveth his turn in evil. And this thing hath two aspects, but the whole is evil. And there is a man that loveth him that worketh evil, because he would prefer even to die evil for his sake. And concerning this, it is clear that it hath two aspects, but the whole is an evil work. Though indeed he have love, yet is he wicked, who concealeth what is evil for the sake of the good name. But the end of the action tendeth unto evil. Another stealeth, doeth unjustly, plundereth, defraudeth, and withal pitieth the poor. This too hath a twofold aspect, but the whole is evil. He who defraudeth his neighbor provokes Yah, and sweareth falsely against the Most High, and yet pities the poor. Our Elohim, who commandeth the law, he setteth at naught and provoketh, and yet he refresheth the poor. He defileth the soul and maketh gay the body, meaning happy. He killeth many and pitieth a few. This too hath a twofold aspect, but the whole is evil. Another commits adultery and fornication and abstains from meats. And when he fasts, he does evil. And by the power of his wealth, overwhelms many. And notwithstanding his excessive wickedness, he doeth the commandments. This too hath a twofold aspect, but the whole is evil. Such men are hares, clean like those divide the hoof, but in very deed are unclean. For the Most High in the tables of the commandments hath thus declared. So you got people that, because I know it sounds like semantics right now, a lot of words play on words, but you got people that will, I mean, just as he said, will commit adultery and fornication, but still abstain from meat, trying to be a vegetarian, trying to take care of the body, but actually destroying the body with the act of sex and lust. So it's like being duplicitous, having two natures within you and not knowing how each affects one the other. How can you want to do one thing to better the body, but do another thing that actually destroys the soul and the body? So at the core, it's all evil, and it's pretty much all a waste of time. If you're going to be caught up into the sin of adultery and fornication, but yet you want to fast, but while you're fasting, you're committing evil, you're speaking slanderous words, you're lying. These are things that we need to take a look at, because this is what it means. You break one of the least commandments and you offend in all. It's kind of along the same lines there, because many of us do that. Why even fast if on that day you're bearing false witness against your neighbor and you're on the phone, you're gossiping, you're slandering. You know, if you're going to fast, you probably should shut up into your house and into your room and keep your mouth shut and not be on the phone. So it's being duplicitous in nature. You got anything you want to say, Brother D?
Yeah, verses 10 through 13 is describing the actions of Donald Trump right now, his duplicity with not really wanting to call out the sin of these white supremacists. And on the other hand, trying to say that, well, both sides have issues or whatnot. He's being duplicitous. And that, those three verses kind of describes him to a T.
Yes, yes. I think this next chapter right here is getting ready to break it down right now as Asher's talking to his kids. Listen to what he says in 3. But do not ye, my children, wear two faces like unto them. Don't be two-faced. He said, of goodness and of wickedness. He goes on to say, but cleave unto goodness only, for Yah hath his habitation therein. And men desire it, but from wickedness flee away, destroying the evil inclination by your good works. For they that are double-faced, you don't even serve Yah, but you're serving your own lusts, so that they may pleasure Belial and men like unto themselves. So when you're going back and forth in between two personalities, you're actually just serving Satan at the end of the day. So you may have done good, but if you're going to split and go back to the other face or give in to your lustful desires of being evil, of gossiping, of backbiting, of not honoring your parents, of breaking the commandments, whatsoever it may be, then in the interim, ultimately, you're serving yourself and Satan. So he's saying cleave to the goodness because that's where Yah lives. That's his habitation. So as us being Hebrews, we have to learn not to be duplicitous, meaning we need to be set free. We need to be delivered from the curses and get the curses off of us and get this Willie Lynch mentality off of us that will cause us to go back into our old ways. And we have to stay. That's our whole yoke. That's our whole burden. It's our whole desire to stay within the goodness by practicing the commandments every day. You can't be good at anything unless you practice it. Because when you practice it, it becomes you. Brother D, you want to
and
say
you
that?
Have to, yes, you have to flee from wickedness straightway. Because if you don't, you entertain it. Next thing you know, you get plunged back into it. That's why when those thoughts come to you, you've got to get away from those, get into the scriptures, you know, praise the Most High. And flee from that right away, because that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get you to entertain that, because if he can get you to entertain it for a second, he'll start pulling you in.
Flee, yeah. That's a key word, flee, run, resist. Resist the devil, resist Belial, and he'll flee. We, brothers and sisters, we know thoughts are going to come. Pitfalls are going to come. They're going to try to present themselves. But the thing is you have to cast down imaginations and flee from it. And not let those thoughts become you and not let them overtake you. Satan is seeking to destroy you. So flee means to run from it. And we have to have our running shoes on every day we walk out this door. Chapter 4. It says, for good men, even they that are of single face, though they be thought by them that are double-faced to sin, are just before Yah. For many in killing the wicked do two works of good and evil. But the whole is good, because he hath uprooted and destroyed that which is evil. One man hateth the merciful and unjust man, and the man who committeth adultery and fasteth. This too hath a twofold aspect. But the whole work is good because he followeth the Most High's example in that he accepteth not the seeming good as the genuine good. Another desireth not to see a good day with them that riot, lest he defile his body and pollute his soul. This too is double-faced, but the whole is good. For such men are like to stags and to hinds, because in the manner of wild animals, they seem to be unclean. But they are altogether clean because they walk in zeal for our Elohim and abstain from what Yah also hated and forbiddeth by his commandments, warding off the evil from the good. Ye see, my children, how that there are two in all things, one against the other, and the one is hidden by the other. In wealth is hidden covetousness. This is good. In wealth is hidden covetousness. In conviviality, drunkenness. In laughter, grief. In wedlock, profligacy. Death succeedeth to life, dishonor to glory, night to day, and darkness to light, and all things are under the day, just things under life, unjust things under death. Wherefore also eternal life awaiteth death. Nor may it be said that truth is a lie, nor right wrong, for all truth is under the light, even as all things are under Yah. All things, therefore, I proved in my life, and I wondered not from the truth of the Most High. And I searched out the commandments of the Most High, walking according to all my strength, with singleness of face unto that which is good. I wanted to look up something. Do you have something you want to add to that, Brother D?
So, late getting things. I'm trying to keep this muted when you're reading there. But you know, just like you said, it goes back to following those commandments. You know, they're telling us that the commandments and particularly the law is all nailed to the cross. You don't have to really. They act like it's a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. This is the Most High's laws. He hates sin, and so these are the things that He's given us in order to keep us out of sin. But, you know, Hasatan, he has all kind of tricks in his bag to try to get us away from the Most High and to separate us from the Most High. And we need to be diligent in trying to stay close to the Most High.
Yes. I want to go back to, I read, it said in conviviality, and I was looking that up. It said, "In conviviality is drunkenness, and conviviality is the quality of being friendly, lively, and friendliness. Hidden in that, the dual side, duplicitous aspect is drunkenness, and that's amazing. And the other one that said wedlock, in wedlock, this profligacy. I'm sorry about that. Profligacy. It means that in wedlock, in marriage, there's hidden recklessness, extravagance, wastefulness in the use of resources. And how true that is, how couples can be wasteful their resources. And so that is a key thing. That's why sometimes it's hard for couples to build a legacy of investments and things and come together with their resources and make wise investments for the family. So that's the duplicitous aspect of that. And I also like the one where he said in death is eternal life, because you got to die to get to eternal life. We got to go through death. It makes a lot of sense.
Yes, because right now you look at the union between a man and a woman, that's been so distorted and perverted. I can say less than 30-40% of Hebrews today are actually married. And so, you know, it's something that Hasatan has perverted. And so you got,
yes,
the Jezebel spirit out there. Women want to be equals or leading the household. And that's not the natural order of things. That's not what y'all meant when he put us on here. Women are to subjugate themselves to their husbands. But that's not the spirit that's out there these days.
Right. Preach. Yeah, that's not the spirit. And we're always at war with that spirit, trying to attack the homes and constantly trying to creep in. And It's amazing that it says on the other side, in wedlock, there's profligacy, because most marriages, divorce rates are because of finances, because of resources. So we're constantly at war with these things. But if we take heart to keep these commandments and meditate on the law daily, that's what keeps our minds. That's what keeps us of singleness of face and singleness of heart, by keeping our minds on the commandments. We're trying to get into the kingdom. And the only way we're going to make it is by keeping these statutes, laws, and commandments. And we need to learn them, know them, and memorize them, and apply them, and adhere to them. And there's little innocent things that we do that will keep us out of the kingdom. A white lie is a lie. You can't say it was just a little white lie. No, it's a lie. And liars will not tarry before the sight of the Most High. So you got to get to the point of where you tell the truth no matter what it means or who it hurts. You got to tell the truth. You know, so we got to focus up on these commandments. And I'm glad I'm seeing Asher talking about the commandments, and he's getting ready to go more into it in chapter 6.
That, so he says, tell the truth just shows or gets you to the point to where you think more of the Most High than you think of people. You think of your family and everything. The Most High is number one.
Right. Yeah, I like how you said that. It's pretty much, I don't care what you think, I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. That's the bottom line. You're going to get the truth, whether you like it or not, because I'm trying to get into the kingdom. Chapter 6 says, take heed, therefore, ye also, my children, to the commandments of Yah, following the truth with singleness of faith. For they that are double-faced, what we call two-faced, are guilty of a twofold sin, for they both do the evil thing, and they have pleasure in them that do it, following the example of the spirits of deceit and striving against mankind. That's good. He's saying that you're following the example and the spirits of deception by lying. You want to deceive somebody. Deception. Lying is deception. We know who's the author of lies and the father of lies. It's Hashatan. Seeking to deceive people, and you strive against mankind anytime you tell a lie or deceive each other. It's mighty funny. We were just saying all this, and this chapter gets right into it. Not to be two-faced. This is amazing what Asher is teaching his offspring in this particular tribe, because he knew they would befall this, being liars, deceptive, two-faced, one way one day and another way on another day, instead of being consistent. Let me read the rest. It says, do ye therefore, my children, keep the law of Yah, and give not heed unto evil as unto good, but look unto the thing that is really good, and keep it in all commandments of the Most High, having your conversation therein and resting therein. For the latter ends of men do show their righteousness or unrighteousness when they meet the angels of the Most High and of Hashatan. Hashatan's got his angels working for him too. For when the soul departs trouble, it is tormented by the evil spirit, which also it served in lust and evil works. But if he is peaceful with joy, he will meet the angels of peace, and they will lead him into eternal life. So he is saying that if you leave this earth dying with that deceitful tongue, with lies, whatever you are into, when you die, that's the type of angels that will meet you in your death and take you to your torment. But if you die in righteousness and in peace, having kept these commandments, the angels of peace will greet you, meet you, and take you into eternal life. All praises to the Most High. Let me read the rest. I became not, my children, as Sodom, which sinned against the angels of Yah and perished forever. For I know that ye shall sin and be delivered into the hands of your enemies, and your land shall be made desolate, and your holy places destroyed, and ye shall be scattered unto the four corners of the earth. All praises. Listen to him prophesying to Asher that he was going to be scattered. Talking about right now. And ye shall be set at naught in the dispersion, vanishing away as water, until the Most High shall visit the earth, coming himself as man, with men, eating and drinking and breaking the head of the dragon. Talking about when Yeshua came back, when the Most High came in the flesh, in the image of his son, and came to gather us, because that's why he said, I came but for the lost house of Israel, the lost tribes, to gather us again, restore us from having broke these commandments. Eating, drinking, breaking the head of the dragon in the water, he shall save Israel and all the Gentiles, Yah speaking in the person of man. Therefore, do ye also, my children, tell these things to your children, that they disobey him not. For I have known that ye shall assuredly be disobedient and assuredly act ungodly, not giving heed to the law of Yah, but to the commandments of men, and ye will be corrupted through wickedness. And therefore shall ye be scattered as Gad and Dan, my brothers, and ye shall know not your lands, tribes. Whoa. Asher told him that you're not even know what tribes y'all from anymore. You know the Most High is going to have to tell us what tribe we're from. I'm tired of these camps, got people going around talking about, yeah, you Naphtali. Yeah, you from Gad. You don't even know. He made it clear right here that we were going to get to this time where we wouldn't even know what land or what tribe we came from and what tongue we spake. And everybody's teaching Yiddish. Talking about that's the original language. We don't know. When he comes back, he's going to restore us into understanding these things and put us in one consent and give us a pure language so that we can praise him with one consent. The Asher's prophesying it right here. This is a good one to be able to come back to. Asher, the book of Asher, chapter 7, verse 7. No, you will not know your lands, your tribe, or your tongue, but the Most High will gather you together in faith through his tender mercy for the sake of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the only reason why, because he gave them a promise. He promised them because we're not worthy, because we're keeping the commandments of men. We'd rather stop at a stop sign. Make sure we don't break these other laws and keep the laws of the Most High. Yes, sir.
And the Most High is not like man. He doesn't break his covenant. And because of the sake of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham, the Most High is keeping his covenant. That's the only reason. Not because of what we're doing, because we've proved,
right,
like you said, we've proved that we're not worthy.
We're not worthy. We're not worthy. We can't even keep these commandments consistently. You know, but we keep trying, and we thank him for grace and mercy. But he's not doing it because you're motivating him to do it. He made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that I shall have a remnant. Your children, I will have a remnant of your children in the land. And I will pour out my spirit upon them so that they can prophesy. But there's nothing you can do to manipulate the Most High with your fasting and your praying. You're not manipulating him. You're doing this because you love him. You're doing this because there's nothing else better in the earth. All of this these other things that this earth has to offer are temporary satisfactions. So, that 7 and 7 got me fired up. You won't even know your land, your tribe, or your tongue. And it said he's going to come have to gather us together.
You know, going back to verse 35, where he said, for the soul departs troubled. It is tormented by the evil spirit, but also it serves in lust and evil words. As far as Satan's angels coming to get you, or his demons, I guess, coming to get you, because you look back to how Hollywood, they know all this stuff, and they use this in their stories. Because the movie Ghost, where it showed how the evil, wicked guys, these demons came back and dragged him kicking and screaming into hell. I mean, they know
right.
What's going on, and they know how this works. But, you know, they'll
yeah.
show us things in the movies that that they know about. And, you know,
right.
it shows what's going on and what's going to happen.
They took things out of our books and put it in these movies. And will tell us, don't read that book. It's a Gnostic book. It's not inspired by God. It's not one of the books of the Bible, the 66, but yet they're reading it, studying it, making movies about it. Just like we were talking last week about the movie about the Clash of the Titans. That ain't nothing but a study of the children of the fallen angels, the giants that were in the land, and how they turned on each other. And how they destroyed each other. So, yeah, they took all this stuff up out of our books. Take it out of our books. And so, But all praise to the Most High.
Yeah, and they go ahead. And they know those books backwards and forwards. They tell, like you said, they tell us not to not to read those books because they're not supposed to be in the canon. But I'm sorry, Brother Reese.
It's okay.
Oh, okay. Got all kinds of things going on here. But they tell us not to read it. But like I said, they study those books, all of them, backwards and forwards, and they know them.
Yes, they do. Let me see. It closes out with him saying, and when he had said these things unto them, he commanded them, saying, bury me in Abron. And then he fell asleep and died a good old age. Boy, these 12 patriarchs didn't do nothing but take a nap and went into eternity. All praise to the Most High. What a blessed life, blessed way to go. I'm about to tell y'all what's up, give you some prophecy, and I'm going to go to sleep and go on to be with the King. All praises to the Most High. That's his grace. That's the kind of life that you live when you keep these commandments. So I like this book of Asher. Seems like the focus was about being two-faced and trying to be duplicitous when we should be of singleness, singleness of heart, singleness of mind, so that you not sitting up here talking about I'm a vegetarian, but you're an adulterer, you're a homemonger, you're a hoe. You're going around here screwing every other month, but you're talking about you keeping the commandments. Come on, get your life right. That's what Asher's saying. Do one thing and be of singleness. Don't lie. Don't be telling lies out your mouth and then want to speak truth out your mouth. It, you know, be of singleness. Be of a single heart.
The whole chapter was this, an explanation of dual personalities. You know, he said saying one thing and doing another.
Yeah, it comes down to having character. So a fixed, predictable image, you know. We got to have character, and these commandments should build the character of Christ, HaMashiach, inside of us so that we're consistent and people see the Most High. We shouldn't have people look at us and say, I don't want whatever you got. Whoever you serve, and I don't want that because you are evil something-something. You don't want people looking at you like that.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of that out there, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of it out there.
Just another commandment that they have no problem breaking.
Right. And then it's also that if people respect you, or even if these Edomites have a fear of you because of Yah's spirit that's on you, that's okay, too. You know, as long as it's because they see that the Most High is on you, so they have a respect for you. That's a different thing. But all praises be unto the Most High.
All praises to the Most High.
Well, with that said, Brother D, I know you got your hands full over there. So any final words?
No final words. Well, other than, you know, praise the Most High and just keep with those commandments, you know, until we do either we're either going to be here when that blessed day comes, or we're going to be asleep waiting to be awakened. But either way, keep those commandments so that you are counted in the kingdom when it comes. Your name is in that book.
That's right. I couldn't have said it better myself. So be signing out. Be inspired. Be encouraged. Hang on. Hold on. Most High willing. We'll come together again on the Shabbat. Might be able to do a lesson on Thursday evening. This has been Inspiration Wednesday. I'm Brother V, along with Brother D, saying the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. Shalom.
Keep your head.